Well, good morning, and welcome to Hoboken Grace. As we walk through this series, Guardrails, we're having a lot of fun and looking at how God is stepping into our lives. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And you've walked into really an incredibly exciting conversation for us here at Hoboken Grace because we're looking at how God, as he steps into our lives, he steps in as a father, and he says, listen, come here. I want to guide and protect you. I want to guide and direct you on this journey. And we all understand and we all have experienced and know that life is moving 1,000 miles an hour. And it's so easy without ever knowing it to find ourselves in a place, in a situation where we never ever wanted to be. And we never ever thought we'd end up. But somehow we went off a cliff that we didn't see coming. And one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to step in and he wants to help us navigate this journey. And over the next few weeks, and we introduced it last week, we're going to be looking at a spiritual principle that we're illustrating with a physical idea of a guardrail. And we're looking at how God, as he steps into our lives, he's trying to help us to establish guardrails. And we're changing the definition a little bit. The definition that we're going to be working with as we work through this series is this. A guardrail is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. And we're looking at this reality of how God, as he steps into our lives, he steps in and says, listen, you need to begin to create some margin in these areas of danger in your life. And we love to live our lives on the edge. We love, as we talked about last week, to dance on the edge. And culture loves to bait us to the edge. But then culture also loves to mock us when we fall over it. And one of the realities that all of us know, but unfortunately we very seldom take the time to actually work through, is that if you dance on the edge, you will eventually fall off. And one of the things that God's trying to do as he steps into our lives is he's saying, listen, I want to change the question you're asking. Because for a lot of us, we're asking the question of what's right and wrong. Well, is this a right thing or a wrong thing? Is this a right thing? But one of the things that God's doing, and one of the things that we're going to see as we walk through this series, and we introduced it last week, is that God's stepping in and saying, no, you're asking the wrong question. Why are you living your life dancing on the edge? He says, no, you need to start asking the question of, is this a wise choice? Not just right or wrong. If you continue to live your life on the edge like that, you're going to fall over. And so he's coming and saying, you need to create some margin. The same way that we do with guardrails. We never put up a guardrail on the edge of a cliff. Why? Because we understand. If we hit the guardrail at that point, it's too late. There needs to be margin. There needs to be an area that gives you some leeway. So that if you happen to fail, if you happen to step over it, it doesn't matter because you're still safe. We understand this with guardrails. We don't build them on the edge. We build them in a safe distance. And the reality is you can drive out there. You can. But it's not wise. There's no margin for error. And so God's stepping into our lives and saying, listen, I want to begin to do this in your personal life. Specifically in those areas where there's immense danger. And whenever there's an area of life where there's a lot of danger, you see God talking about it a lot. And he's stepping in over and over again saying, come here. Let me make sure you understand this. Let me talk to you about this because there is a lot of danger here. And today, as we continue this conversation, we're going to be looking at one of those first areas of danger, specifically the area of friendship. And friendship is an incredible thing. It's a wonderful thing. But one of the things that God is trying to teach us is that friendship can also be a very dangerous thing. For a lot of you, your parents understood this. This is why they were obsessed with who your friends were. And they're constantly monitoring, who are you hanging out with? And they made the decisions that they made in their lives. So you would go to certain schools, and so you would be friends with certain people. And some of you actually moved so that your parents could change who your friends were. It got to that point. For many of you, your biggest fights with your parents were about your friends. And you thought it was crazy. You thought it was absurd. I don't understand why they're so wrapped up in who my friends are. Until you grew up, especially for those of you who became parents, because now you're exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. And you're doing exactly the same things. But the great thing is that parents today, we have the advantage of technology. So not only do we get to be obsessed about it, but then we get to track them. And in our culture, I think we're about 3 or 4 months away from being able to just put chips into our kids and just on our iPhone, just watch them walk around. Like, I know exactly where you are. And we can track them. And we look at all of their text messages. And we have access to their Facebook page. And there's all this. When for the kids, they look at it and say, it's absurd. But for those of us who are parents, we're like, no, it's not absurd. Why? Because all of us know on some level that while friendship is incredible, while friendship is wonderful, friendship is also incredibly dangerous. And at some level, all of us know what your parents knew, that friendship will influence your future. That your friends will influence and impact your future. And we may not like to think about it. We may like to push it out of our minds. We may like to lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that it's not true. But on some level, all of us know it. And what makes friendship amazing is also what makes friendship dangerous. Because in friendship, we open up. In friendship, we find acceptance, and we all crave acceptance. But acceptance creates influence. And as we step into this relationship with the people around us, all of a sudden there is influence that is created, and that influence impacts our future, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not. And on some level, we're all aware of this. As a matter of fact, I would be willing to bet that for most of you, if you were to look back on your greatest regrets, if you were to look back on those decisions that you made, that you think today, man, if I could just go back and change that one thing, if I could just go back and change that, I'd be willing to bet that that decision wasn't made alone. It was made with a friend. Most of the worst decisions that we've made in our lives were made with friends. For example, no man has ever walked into a store and decided alone that he was going to start wearing skinny jeans. It started with a friend. And now you can't sit down without your feet falling asleep. No one ever started watching Downton Abbey alone. There was always a friend, and now you're hooked on All My Children set in 1900. No, obviously those are not good examples, but let me ask you this. How many people smoked their first cigarette alone? A few of you did because you didn't want your friends to see you throw up. But outside of that, how many people start using drugs for the first time alone? The amazing thing about addictions is that they almost always start in groups of friends. And for many of us, when we look back, when we look at those decisions that we made, that we think, man, I wish I could go back. For many of us, if not most of us, those decisions weren't made alone. They weren't made in a void. They were made with friends. Your porn addiction started with a friend. What makes friendship amazing is what also makes friendship very, very dangerous. And one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to step into our lives and say, wait, come here. You have got to start to pay attention to this. You have got to start to pay attention to this, because if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to find yourself in a ditch. And you're going to look around and wonder, how in the world did I ever get here? For so many of us, if we were to go back and talk to ourselves before we moved to Hoboken. For so many of us, the person we were before we moved to Hoboken, that person would look at who we are and say, what happened? Because you said, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to go there. I'm never going to become. But the power of companions, the power of friends is stronger than we usually give it credit for. But God is trying because God loves you and he cares about you so much. He's stepping into your life and he's stepping into my life and saying, come here. You have to pay attention to your friends. The writer of Proverbs says it this way. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. We're just going to sit in on this for a little bit today. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And I love this passage. I love this passage because there's incredible power in what he's trying to help us understand and what he's trying to teach us and what God wants to introduce into our lives. And I love how he begins it, because in this passage, you see two things. You see a promise and you see a warning. You see an amazing promise. And in this promise, he's actually calling to us to understand the beauty of friendship. He's calling us to understand the other thing that we know, this idea that he who walks with the wise grows wise. When you look at the stories that are shown here at Hoboken Grace that we show all the time, and you hear the lives of the people who are being impacted and how God is working in people's lives, there's two things that you hear over and over again. One, you hear about the impact of Jesus and what Jesus has done in their life. But the other thing that you hear over and over and over again in almost every story, if not every story, is that there was a person involved. And all of a sudden, I became friends with, or I got to know, or so-and-so stepped into my life. And that person, and again, this is the amazing thing about friendship. It's what makes it beautiful and dangerous at the same time, because it can be used in really good ways. And it can be a really good thing in our life. And you hear those stories and they're saying, I got to know so-and-so. And as I became closer and closer to them, all of a sudden they introduced me to who Jesus was. Or all of a sudden I began to see in their life the way that they were interacting with God. And it changed the way that I interacted with God. It's not all negative. As a matter of fact, it can be really beautifully positive. And as you look at the beginning of this verse, he's calling that out. And not only is he pointing it out that, listen, this can be a really good thing in your life, but he gives you a promise. He gives you a promise. He says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. He doesn't say, occasionally, if you hang out with wise people, you'll become wise. He doesn't say, 9 out of 10 times it's going to happen. It's a promise. He says, no, if you surround yourself with wise people, you're going to grow wise. And remember what we talked about last week of what wisdom is. Wisdom is someone who understands the connectedness of life, understands that the decision I'm making today is going to impact my future. The decision I'm making tonight is going to impact my future. It's going to impact tomorrow. It's going to impact next week. It's going to impact the rest of my life. And so they make decisions with that understanding. They understand how God has created things, and they understand how God has designed for them to work. And he said, you need to surround people. Surround yourself with people like that. And if you do, and this should be encouraging to all of us, if you do that, you will become wise. If you surround yourself with people who think that way, you're going to begin to think that way too. If you surround yourself with people who make decisions that way, you're going to begin to make decisions that way too. That should be encouraging to all of us, because here, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm in the same boat with you, okay? We're on this journey together. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but at some point in this journey, you're going to feel like a fool if it hasn't happened already. And even as I've worked through this myself, I've looked at it and said, man, I need to put different guardrails in my life as I'm looking at this area or that area. And there are going to be times where you look at it and you say, man, why am I blowing it? Why? And in those moments, this verse should be a source of incredible encouragement. All of us have areas to grow in, but this verse is an amazing source of encouragement that, listen, if I surround myself with wise people, I can continue to grow in this. And he's saying, if you establish this guardrail that you're going to, and here's the word, here's the key word, intentionally begin to do life, to live life with people who are wise, you will become wise. This is one of the reasons why we talk about dinner groups so much here at Hoboken Grace, because it gives you an opportunity to surround yourself with people who are moving in the same direction. Now, disclaimer, I'm not telling you when you join a dinner group that everyone in your dinner group is wise. All right? First of all, you're in the group, so that kind of ruins it. But we're all on this journey together. But as you're in those groups, you're surrounded by people who are moving in the direction that you want to move. And as you're in those environments, you're going to meet people. As you're on impact teams, as you're on dinner groups, you're going to meet people that you're like, you know what, man, they really understand. They're wise. Specifically, maybe even in just one area of life. And so you're able to begin to go to them and gain counsel from them. This is an amazing promise. And God's saying, you need to begin to intentionally, the way that we talk about it here at Hoboken Grace is circles. You need to begin to intentionally develop circles in your life. These relationships, these intentional circles, and one of them needs to make, the ones who are closest to you, you need to make sure that they are wise people. It's a beautiful promise. And he points out the beauty of friendship. But then he continues and he gives us a warning. He says, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And again, even in this warning, you see a promise. You see a promise, because he doesn't say, but a companion of fools sometimes suffers harm. He doesn't say, but a companion of fools occasionally suffers harm. He says, no, you need to understand something. You need to face up to something. You need to come to grips with something, and that is this: if you continue to surround yourself with fools, you will suffer harm. And in this, we love to lie to ourselves. We love to lie to ourselves because we say, listen, I'm never going to do what they do. I'm never going to act like they act. If you find yourself hanging out with a group of people and you say, it's okay, I'm never going to do what they do. I'm never going to act like they act. There should be red flags and sirens going off in your head. It should be like a marching band is in your head saying, stop. You're in danger. But we justify it because we say, listen, I'm never going to make the decisions that they make, so I'm not going to experience the destruction that they're going to experience. Notice, make sure you take note of this. In this verse, he doesn't say a companion of fools will become a fool. It's not a parallel statement. He doesn't say the wise will, if you walk with the wise, you'll grow wise, and if you walk with a fool, you'll grow foolish. He doesn't say that. That's not his point. There are other passages that talk about how when we're a companion of fools, how it destroys our character. But that's not his point in this passage, and that's not the promise that he's making. He's not promising that you're going to become a fool. He says, no. You may not become a fool, but make no mistake about it. When they go over the edge, when their life blows up, the shrapnel of it is going to hit your life too. The warning and the promise is not that you'll become a fool. And you're telling yourself, it's okay, I'm never going to do what they do. And he's not saying that you will. What he's saying is, when their life blows up, it's going to hit you too. And you may not willingly make the decision to step over the cliff. But don't think that you're going to be able to escape the damage. Along the way. And here's what I've experienced. We actually know this. For most of us, we're aware of this. We just don't want to face it in the way that we make decisions. Because a lot of us have seen this happen to people that we care about. I remember in high school when this passage, it came alive for me, and I saw it in a way that I'll never forget. Because one of my friends got into a car with another friend. He had no idea that he'd been taking pills. He had no idea. And my friend made great decisions, except for the fact that, and I was in the same boat with him, we love to hang out with fools. And that night it cost him his life. Sometimes you don't come back from it. And God stepping in and saying, come on. I care about you too much for this. If you're going to live, and remember, what is it all about? As we're introduced to this principle, what is it all about? It's about making the most of every opportunity, about living the story that God created us to live inside of his story to the best of our ability. And God's coming in saying, no, you've got to establish some guardrails, because if you keep surrounding yourself with fools, you may not be the one who makes the decision to step over that cliff, but you may very well go with them. And sometimes you don't come back from it. He's calling us to establish guardrails. To ask ourselves, okay, and for some of you, this is where it begins, because for a lot of us, our friends are unintentional. They kind of happen by accident. It's not something that we set out to do. It's not something that we set out to create. It just kind of happened. And so for many of us, we're living our lives on the edge, even though we're completely unaware of it, because we've never thought of friendship as something that's dangerous. But God's stepping in and saying, pay attention. Pay attention here, because there's danger that you may not even see. And for some of you, the question is this. Who influences you the most? And it's not who you think you allow to influence you the most. Because I've had conversations with people who say, a lot of the friends that I hang out with, they make really bad decisions, but I don't allow them to influence me. I allow these other people to influence me. But as you get to know them, you find out they spend a lot more time with the people that they say don't influence them. That's just not being honest with yourself. That's just not being honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself here. Who actually influences you the most? When you look at your inner circle, when you look at the people that you spend the most time with, who influences you the most? Are you allowing friendships to be something that just happen, or are you being intentional about it? Have you ignored the danger of friendship? Listen to me. If someone is not careful with their life, they're not going to be careful with yours either. If someone is not careful with their marriage, they're not going to be careful with yours either. If someone's not careful with their finances, they're not going to care about yours either. For the one who cheats, you know what they want? You know what will make them feel better? If you cheat too. I've had conversations with husbands, and they're talking about their friends and how their friends are cheating on their wives. And they said, you know, but I'm not going to do that. If you surround yourself with people like that, do not be afraid if one day you wake up and it's your reality too. Have you lied to yourself about the impact of your friends? For some of us, it's just taking inventory and asking, okay, where am I? And who is it that I am allowing to influence me? And for others of us, even as we've been walking through this conversation, there have been names and pictures that have begun to pop into your head, and you know the people. That could very easily, not necessarily make the decision to step over the cliff, but that very easily could make that decision to step over the cliff. And you've always told yourself that it won't affect you. But as you hear God's instruction, all of a sudden, there are lights that are going off. And you know, okay, wait. This is an area where I need to create margin. And I think this is the important thing, because as you look at this, the warning is about proximity. It's about proximity. It's that as you're close to them, when they blow up, you're going to get hit. And so what God's calling us to do is to create margin, to create space in our life. Typically here at Hubbock and Graces, we talk about this. And when we talk about relationships, and we go into our relationship series after Easter, we're going to be looking at this even more. But we talk about relationships in terms of four things. So chemistry, commitment, and then character and intimacy. And we always talk about the reality that God is teaching us that character must be linked to intimacy. And if you allow intimacy to grow without character, you are in danger. And what God's calling us to do here is he's saying, listen, if you're surrounding yourself with people who have very low character, you're in danger. And he's saying you need to decrease the intimacy. In other words, you need to create space. You need to create margin in this situation. To be able to say, you know what, with the decisions that they're making, I can't be that close to them anymore. And I'm going to have to begin to intentionally develop another circle of friends. I'm going to have to begin to intentionally develop a circle of friends that's actually wise. And for some of you, you're already seeing those people in your head because you know, that they're walking down a path that's going to lead to destruction. Let me give you just a couple of questions to ask, because some of you may also be sitting here saying, I don't really know. Let me just give you a couple of questions to ask as you're establishing these guardrails as it pertains to friends and things that can help us to be able to identify, okay, where are those guardrails or where do I need to create margin? One of the first times that you need to begin to create margin is when you see your friends moving in a direction that you don't want your life to go. And so all of a sudden they're making decisions and you see that group of people or that group of friends moving in a direction you don't want to go. That needs to be a guardrail in your life where you say, okay, wait. I got to create margin here. I got to create space here. Because God's made me a promise. God's made me a promise that if I surround myself with the wise, I'll become wise. But if I continue to walk with fools, I will suffer harm. And you need to begin to create margin. Another one is when you feel the pressure to compromise. When you feel the pressure to compromise in a friendship, you need to create margin. Now, unfortunately, usually what we do is we say, no, the guardrail is going to be when I compromise. And what you do there is you put the guardrail right on the edge. And you don't start to try to create margin until after you've already compromised. It's too late then. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with me feeling pressure to compromise. I didn't really do anything wrong. This isn't about a right or wrong decision. This is about creating space. It's about making the wise decision. And the wise decision is, man, when I start to feel compromised, I'm going to create, even the temptation to compromise, I'm going to begin to create space. I'm going to create margin in this relationship. Another one is when you hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't participate. When you say that to yourself, there should be sirens that go off in your head that says, okay, you are in an unsafe area. When you hear yourself saying to yourself, man, I'll go, but I hope no one ever finds out where I went or who I was with. I love, my dad gave me a guardrail years ago. And he said this. He said, Chris, just make sure as you're making decisions, make sure that you're okay with that decision if it was on the front page of the newspaper the next day. It's a beautiful guardrail. It has to do with wisdom. It doesn't have anything to do. It's not living on the edge. And we love, we get obsessed with right and wrong. God says, well, that's an unsafe way to live. Live with wisdom. You find yourself in a situation where you're making a decision to go, but you hope no one ever finds out, and you're terrified that your parents would ever find out, but you don't even want your other friends to find out. It should be a guardrail. And God's stepping into your life, He's stepping into my life, He's saying, come here. Let me talk to you about this incredible thing, this beautiful thing called friendship. Let me talk to you about this amazing thing called friendship that can do wonderful things in your life. It can help you grow in amazing ways. But let me talk to you as well about the danger of it. And to make sure that you can make the most of every opportunity. Let me help you to begin to establish some guardrails. Let me help you to begin to establish some limits and some barriers so that you don't end up in a situation you never thought that you would be in. Who influences you the most? How are you going about and how are you engaging, intentionally building a circle of wise friends? Are there people that you need to create margin in your relationship? And make sure that you take note of this. I'm not talking about writing people off. Do not confuse that today. I'm not talking about writing people off. The reality is that we are on a mission. We are on a mission to help people find their way back to God. And your friends are going to need you someday. And if you go off the cliff with them, you're not going to be there to help them. And in those moments, they're going to need someone to introduce them to the love and the grace and the beauty of who God is and how God wants to do this in their life too. But if you go off the edge with them, you will not be able to accomplish your mission. And they won't be able to see and experience the beauty of what God wants to do in their life too. What are the guardrails you need to set up in terms of friendship? God's made us an incredible promise, an incredible promise. And in this amazing, loving way, he stepped in and said, come on, come on, come on. Let me teach you. He who walks with the wise will grow wise. But listen, listen carefully. The companion of fools will suffer harm. So let me help you establish some guardrails to direct and protect, to make sure that you can make the most of every opportunity as we journey together. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at this truth that you are trying to instill in us, this reality that you're calling us to, I pray first and foremost that we would be aware of what it is that you're trying to teach us. And for so many of us, we know that this is true. We know that it's true, but we so easily look past it, we so easily ignore it to our own detriment. And yet you, with undeserved kindness, with this unbelievable love that we deserve nothing of, are stepping in and you're helping to guide us and direct us so that we can not just make the most of every opportunity for ourselves, but so that we can make the most of every opportunity to be able to love and help the people around us to be able to know and experience you. Father, I pray that we would, as we talked about last week, that we would begin to cling to your instruction, that we would love it the way that David loves it, that we would value it and cherish it, that we would see you as that loving heavenly Father who's stepping in an amazing, loving way, putting your arm around us and saying, okay, let me guide you. Dad, we love you. And we love what you're doing in our lives. And we love that we can trust you. And we love that we get to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.